Hello and welcome to Food, Booze, and Good Times, a podcast about Oklahoma City food and drink and also other things. My name is Zach.
My name is Julie.
How's it going?
It's good.
How you doing?
I'm tired.
You're tired? We went out last night,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went out last night and taking it pretty slow today.
Yeah.
But still drinking, still enjoying a nice little cocktail.
What did you make for us?
So today, we're drinking a drink called an Old Friend.
An Old Friend.
It's a brand new drink that I've never made before. And I found it in this Meehan's bartender manual. Meehan's bartender manual. That's what it's called. And it, in the description of this drink, it actually says the origin. I created this cocktail for the fall 2012 cocktail menu at Chef's Club in Aspen, Colorado. Hmm. So that must mean that it was made by Mr. Meehan. Or invented by Mr. Meehan. And it's a gin drink. And I wanted to make a drink based off, you know, just what we had in the house.
Yeah.
You know, we don't really have, we kind of ran out of whiskey.
Yeah, we did.
We make a lot of whiskey drinks and we've been making a lot of whiskey sours.
Because they're so good.
Really good, really easy. But I wanted to branch out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so this Old Friend was pretty easy. It is Sunday, so I couldn't have gone to go get, you know, vermouth or something. A lot of these are asking for vermouth or different kind of liqueurs.
Okay.
And this one only required gin and Campari, which I already have, and St. Germain, which I already have. And so this is gin, grapefruit juice, Campari, St. Germain with a lemon twist on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Visually,
it's beautiful.
Visually, very beautiful drink.
It's like hot pink.
It's hot pink. And I think that's because of the grapefruit juice sort of mixed in with the Campari.
Yeah.
It makes it really red, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Really good. The version that I made is really dry.
Mm-hmm.
And your version, I added half an ounce of simple syrup for you.
Yes.
I did that for you, for your little palate.
I need a little sweeter.
But I really like it. I think the lemon twist adds a nice little fragrance. Yes.
Yeah, it smells very good.
Mm-hmm. And so Meehan's bartender manual is sort of, I'd say it's a must have for someone who's very interested in home bartending, or really just if you're, you know, trying to broaden your horizons when it comes to cocktails or whatever, you know. They've got your basic stuff like old fashions and Negronis and margaritas and stuff, but they've also, they're, you know, these recipes might be a little bit more elevated.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They're not just you know, your standard stuff.
Yeah,
they have other things in there.
Some elevated ingredients maybe, or specific suggestions. A lot of these recipes call for specific, the makers, distillers. Like this is calling for Beef Eater gin. That's a brand of gin. And,
right.
You know, this one is calling for Tempest Fugit Quina Lero d'Or.
Yeah.
And Vue Pontralier Absinthe. That's for a Corpse Reviver, number 2.
Hmm.
Probably won't ever make that one.
Probably not.
But anyway, Meehan's bartender manual is really cool. And this is a good drink. I like Negroni. I like the taste of Campari is what I meant to say. I like the taste of Campari. And so this is just sort of a fruity, you know, light,
summery. Yeah, it's a summery drink.
Super summery. And anyway, what do you like about it or dislike about it?
It is a little dry for me. I think it's the Campari. Has that like drying, and the grapefruit also has that kind of drying effect. But it's good. It's very good.
I think it's sweet. I didn't put any simple syrup in mine, and I think it's sweet. Mm. Just because of the grapefruit juice, and I think the St. Germain is a little bit sweet as well.
The St. Germain is sweet.
You know?
Yeah.
And anyway, it's just something that I wanted a gin drink. I opened this up. This one was easy, so we went and got some grapefruits and
looked
it up for the show.
I can taste the St. Germain.
Yeah, me too. There's not that much in there. Mm-mm. It's a quarter ounce of it. But anyway, I bought this Meehan's bartender manual at Commonplace Books.
Yeah.
Beautiful bookstore in Midtown.
Oh, it's great.
The feeling that I get when I'm in Commonplace, I would like to feel all the time.
Agreed. Definitely.
Peaceful. And serene, welcome.
Yeah, just feel like you're at home. Homey. When you go in there.
And very specific scent because they have their own custom candles.
They do.
I picked one up one day and it said for Commonplace Books made by somebody like in Tulsa or something that makes candles.
Yeah.
So that's just what the bookstore smells like. And I almost want to buy one and put it in the house, but I feel like that would sort of spoil the experience of going in there.
True.
And smelling that smell. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, if I'm smelling it all the time at home.
But then we'll be so calm all the time.
That's true. But anyway, Common Place Books is awesome. And, you know, I have so much to say about the new expansion of Common Place, known as the kitchen at Common Place.
Yes.
But at the same time, so speechless about the experience.
Yeah. Like, I wanted to talk about it first, so we have plenty of time to talk about it. But at the same time, I feel like you just have to go experience for yourself. Yes. Like, I don't know that we could put into words like how incredible of an experience it is.
And we're already talking it up, like, already. But let me tell you that this is, if you are interested in food and dining and just sort of the culture that of Oklahoma City that's sort of been growing the last couple of years, the kitchen at Common Place is a pinnacle dining experience in this city, I think.
It's
just so unique.
Unique. Yeah, like nothing, I've never experienced anything like it before.
Aside from just going to somebody's house and them making dinner. You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't get this at restaurants.
No.
This level of service and hospitality and quality, you know? Yeah,
and like it was like a personable.
Right. Should we sort of explain?
Yeah, so
the process.
Each week they have a curated menu. Every night of the week there's one entree and it's different every single night. And they only make enough for how many people they can sit in their restaurant. Which is not very big. I mean, what, 20 spots maybe?
Yeah, 20 to 30.
Oh, I don't.
Because, I mean, at that top, that tabletop that we sat at, 2, 4, 6, 8.
Maybe 12. 10,
12. I'd say 12 to 14 people can sit up there.
Yeah.
And another 10 or so down at the table. Anyway, small. Yeah.
You don't have to make a reservation, but I think it's very strongly recommended.
Right.
I mean, we made a reservation and we got there. Dinner starts at 7. We got there a little before 7. And there was already people in there. And I mean, it filled up pretty fast.
Yeah. And I think most people had a reservation that were there.
Yes. And so, like I said, they make one entree and it's like communal family style experience. Like, they give everybody their entree at the same time.
However, even before the meal started.
Yeah.
You know, first let's talk about the actual food
that we had. I want to like go how it's,
how
it happens. So like everybody gets their food at the same time. They clear your plates and then dessert is ready and then they pass out dessert for everybody at the same time. So it's not like you're going to go and just have two people experience. Like it's like a whole room experience.
Yeah. You don't sit down and look at a menu and order.
Right.
You really have to be aware of the entree that they're preparing that night, which you have to, there's probably an email list.
I got an email.
Or the easiest way is honestly just Instagram.
Their Instagram, yeah. So then now we can talk about the actual food that
We ordered an appetizer, which at that night was hummus.
A hummus plate,
which, I mean, it's going to sound bizarre, but it was probably the best hummus I've ever had.
It was so good.
It has so much flavor. And, you know, it came with your regular hummus dippings, you know?
Yeah, it had bread. It had cauliflower. It had some kind of beautiful radish. It was like pink on the inside. But the hummus was very good. And they had
Which is like so bizarre to say that it's the best hummus I've ever had because everywhere has hummus.
This one's
like
best.
Hummus is just good. And like hummus is good. But this, I don't know, man. They did it right. I can't tell you how or why, but it was really good.
Yeah, it was really good.
So good.
And like a very generous helping.
Oh, yeah. Big old scoop.
Like everything.
Big old pop.
And like proportionate to the
dippers. It was like perfect. Yeah.
And then that night for the entree, it was a homemade pasta, like a big wide noodle pasta.
Oh, they were also serving complimentary wine.
Oh, yeah.
I don't expect that to be a regular thing. Either. It's just like that was happening that night. They just kept on pouring the wine to everybody.
Yeah. So it was like big, like rigatoni or like rigate or some kind of larger pasta. Uh-huh. Homemade. They said someone makes it and they brought it in that day. Fresh ricotta that was brought in that day. Had dill on it. And it was so one good. Of the best pasta dishes I've ever had.
Creamy. Creamy with that ricotta.
Had
herbaceous.
Had like a very...
With the dill.
Yeah. Very light tomato sauce. And then like they just had the ricotta on top. Mm-hmm. Kind of like on our Instagram, we posted it.
Yeah.
They like put the ricotta on top and then they said, just mix it all together. Oh my gosh, yeah, it was so good.
Yeah. Really simple dish.
Very simple, but simple like dish, done but right.
Yeah, exactly. With the right ingredients and the right, you know, touch.
Yeah.
Like, loving touch.
Yeah, like to you said, it. That fresh dill. Just
a loving touch on the pasta.
The fresh dill just like elevated it a yeah. little bit. And it was very
really good with some red wine as well. It was
good
you know?
With the wine.
And we weren't like super social. We could have been more.
Yeah.
However, I do think that's the idea is like to become friends with your neighbor, you know, look to your left and to your right and sort of like just hang out, you know, with these people.
Right.
We weren't like in that mood particularly, you know what I mean? We just... But, you know, that's sort of the idea, and I do like that a lot.
Yes.
We should also mention that he did a little reading before the dinner started.
He said that it's not a ritual. It's a tradition to have a reading before every meal. I don't remember what he read, but it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I was getting a little choked up.
It was about the author was a dying man, and he was sort of aware of life.
Appreciating life.
Things like that, you know, so... Yeah, no, it was an incredible experience. And then they served up dessert.
Oh,
it was and then keep in mind that like everybody in the restaurant is experiencing the same thing at the same time.
Right.
We're all eating the appetizer.
At the same time.
They do the reading. They give everybody a plate at the same time.
Yep.
Once everybody's wrapped up. But also like as we were eating appetizers, you're just sort of sitting there around the kitchen area and she's pulling out the dessert that they're going to serve in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you just watch him prepare everything.
Yeah.
You watch her pull this stuff out of the oven.
Out of the ovens, yeah. So
it's
the way
this
it's,
fruit tart.
The way it's like set up is it's like a half of a rectangle and like the chairs are around this rectangle.
Yeah,
and
essentially
inside
a bar
the,
top.
Yeah, inside the bar top.
Surrounding the kitchen area.
Is the kitchen where the ovens are. They got like, you know, cutting boards everywhere to cut up stuff and refrigerators underneath. And you're just watching the whole time. Watching the meal preparation and all. There's a lot of staff there.
There was a ton of staff.
Like so well prepared and well covered and like everything was taken care of. And
so anyway, let's talk about the dessert.
Oh, it was some kind of like mixed berry...
Like, it wasn't really a tart, was it?
It wasn't a tart.
Because there wasn't any cream element.
But it was like...
In the
It was just pie. Like really good dough with like a mixed berry compote in the middle and then like baked in the oven. And then they put ice cream on top and honey.
And shaved orange zest
and orange
on
zest.
Top of it.
Oh
wow.
My goodness. It was
awesome.
So good.
It was really, really good.
I mean...
Can't believe it.
And I think too, just like watching it come out of the oven... You just like, obviously everything is homemade, but just had that like homemade feel. Like somebody made this for you and gave it to you and you ate it.
Yeah. It was it's so unique and you really need to go yourself to really experience like what we're talking about here, you know? And I don't know, man. Like I said, pinnacle dining experience. And I do want to give a shout out to the guys that run it. Ben Knuckles.
Yeah.
Right?
And, yeah, he owns Commonplace Books.
Right. And the other gentleman, Chris Castro, who is sort of the in charge of the food, the chef.
Yes.
Per se, you
chef.
Could say.
He's a chef man.
Co-owner as well. And just doing a great job out there, man.
Yeah. Like, you can tell a lot of thought and care was put into it. And then that was executed, like, extremely well. They like really thought about what to do and how to do it and like made it happen.
Awesome. You guys got to get out there. Be sure to make a reservation.
Yeah.
If you walk in, I don't think you're going to be guaranteed a spot.
Right.
You know, I don't really know how that works. I don't really
I'm
know
not
how
sure.
they're, how they prepare for that kind of situation.
Right.
However, so good.
Yeah. So
good.
Dinner there starts at 7 p.m. They also have like a full menu all day. from like 8:30 a.m. to like 5 p.m. they have like a set menu. They have like toast and they have other like breakfast and lunch things. They have salads. They have a full coffee bar. They have tea.
Yeah, we went there for coffee. I think the few days before we went for dinner. It was really good coffee.
Yeah, they had a homemade hibiscus tea that was delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, go check it out.
Okay, cool. That's about one. It's pretty much the only new place that we've been to since last episode.
Right.
Noteworthy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We did go to Good Times last night. Mm-hmm. And since the last show, I have tried the food at Good Times.
Yeah, the food is really good.
It's so like stoner food, you know, hungover, like burritos with french fries in it and Doritos smothered in nacho toppings.
Right.
You know, but it's really good and it's really appropriate for the location, I think.
Yes, they have the best fried pickles. So they're not like discs. Yeah, the fried pickles. They're not good. Like, you know, like everywhere has like round pickle rounds fried. These look like french fries. They're like pickle spears that are, you know, breaded and fried, and they're very, very good.
Really good. And I'm growing to really enjoy going to Good Times.
Yeah.
You know?
It's our third time to go.
Yeah, it's like a fun, casual little spot, you know? Don't expect, you know, craft cocktails, really. I don't think I've had a craft cocktail. I've had, like, whatever, like a mixed drink.
Right.
Not a, you know.
Right,
true. I've been getting beer every time I go there. Mm-hmm. But Good Times is a lot of fun, I think.
You know. It is a lot of fun.
We brought a little dog there last night. We brought
our pupper.
Rebel.
He had a good time.
Rebel the dog went to Good Times last night. And he had a good time. A lot of people to look at and smell and bark at, you know.
So. Oh, yeah. It's dog friendly.
Dog friendly. Take big, nice patio.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I do want to dive into the best of OKC finalists for 2018.
Oh, from the Gazette.
Yeah. Or the Gazette. Yeah. So there's a ton of categories here, and we're just going to focus on the food and drink.
Yeah, there's so many. Because that's
what this show is about.
Right, there's like a ton. When I voted, there's kept more pages and pages.
Like, oh, gosh. So this is something that we probably should have done a couple weeks ago because voting is over, but I think it's still fine to talk about. You know what I'm saying? So let's just go down the list here. What do you say?
Sounds good.
Yeah, we maybe choose our winners or who we voted for, you know? Sure. So let's start with the best tea or coffee house. All About Chow, Coffee Slingers, Elemental, The Red Cup, and Urban Tea House.
I voted for Urban Tea House.
I was going to say, I bet you voted for Urban Tea House.
only because, I don't get coffee.
Right.
So I feel like I get biased. Tea. So, yeah.
I'd say Elemental coffee. I drank Elemental's bagged whole bean coffee for a long time. Mm-hmm. I went up there every 2 weeks and bought a bag of coffee, and you know it's a little pricey, but really good coffee.
Yeah.
Insanely good coffee to take home and make every day.
Yeah,
and it was a Vaquero. Mm-hmm. Vaquero is the kind I got all the time. I think that's sort of their most popular one that they took away and then finally brought back.
They couldn't get the beans. They were able to.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, the beans.
Is Clarity on the beans. There?
Clarity's not on there.
Well, just a side note. I went to Clarity Coffee for the first time a couple weeks ago. They have an amazing matcha latte. Amazing.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
I still haven't been to Clarity. I went
2 days in a row because I had to go down there for work. It was very good.
It's hard to get into, right?
Well,
like,
it's just
physically.
It's just like
you gotta find somewhere to park.
Yeah, the parking is the issue down there. So it's on Main Street. I have to go down that area for work. And so whenever I go, I just pop in and get a little latte.
We'd say Elemental and Urban Tea House.
Yeah.
And okay, best brunch, Cafe Cacao, Hatch, Jimmy's Roundup Cafe and Fried Pies.
That's on Classen, right?
Don't know. Don't know about Jimmy's. So the Jones Assembly's on there and the Pump Bar is also on there.
Mm.
Hatch.
No, I was going to say no Hatch.
Hatch. Oh, yeah, Hatch.
Okay,
yeah. Hatch. Cafe Cacao, Hatch,
Jimmy's,
the Jones, and the Pump.
I voted Hatch.
Yeah, I would probably say Hatch as well. However, I was blown away by the Pump Bar's brunch, man.
The Pump Bar does have very good brunch.
Really, really great brunch. I think the one time I went there, I just had the breakfast plate.
Yeah.
You know, and it was some really good. It was like blueberry sausage that you could tell that they made that morning and grilled up. And So I would put Hatch. I would have to say Hatch. I just really love Hatch's food, man. It's really good. Yeah. Hard to get into.
Yes.
2.5 hours probably.
Yeah.
But I bet you that takes the cake. However, Jimmy's, man. Jimmy's Roundup Cafe and Fried Pies.
I don't know what that is.
But we'll need to head out to Jimmy's.
Yeah, I want a fried pie. If it's on here. Is that a little like a hand pie? Like a little pocket?
Probably so.
Yeah, I want one of those.
Best wine dinner.
Oh.
I don't think I've been to any of these places.
Okay, list them
outside
off.
Of my budget a little bit, probably. Flip's Wine Bar, Mahogany Prime Steakhouse, the Metro Wine Bar and Bistro, the Pritchard, and Vast.
Yeah, I don't think I voted on that one because I haven't been. I've been to the Metro for lunch a long time ago, but I've never been to any of their places.
I have been recommended the Pritchard a lot.
Yes.
That we should go to the Pritchard.
Yeah, we do need to go.
So I do know that that's a pretty popular little wine dinner spot.
Yes.
So best Oklahoma winery. I'm going to skip. We don't know those.
Right.
Sorry. Best patio brunch. Mm-hmm. Hatch, the Jones Assembly, Pearls, Picasso, and the Pump. I would just say the Pump.
Yeah, the Pump. Oh, Picasso is very good.
I mean, Hatch is it brunch, you know, it's best brunch, but patio brunch, Pump. I'd say there's better patios to go to to have brunch at.
Agreed.
The Jones Assembly might be nice.
We've sat on the patio.
They have a nice drinks, patio. You know, but
Pump takes that one.
Best chicken fried steak. I love that this is its own category.
That's crazy.
It's awesome. Love that. And Chicken Fry House, Cheever's Cafe, Del Rancho.
Del Rancho. Interesting. I didn't know Del Rancho was still around.
Jimmy's Roundup Cafe and Fried Pies.
Huh. We got to go there.
Or the Press. The only chicken fried steak I've had on this list is Cheever's.
And you really liked it, right?
And I loved Cheever's chicken fried steak.
Yeah.
I bet you the Press has some good chicken fried steak, too.
I bet they do, yeah.
Which I do like the Press breakfast.
Oh, yes.
It's like, you know, it's one of those spots where like it's just you're sort of guaranteed to get in
on
a
huge
Saturday or Sunday morning. Right. Very large, really a family kind of establishment.
Yeah.
You know?
I like it there.
Really homey. I feel like I'm in a cabin. I feel like I'm in a big cabin.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on vacation somewhere.
Yeah. Best food truck or food cart cannot have a brick and mortar.
Oh, okay.
The fried taco. Fill Me Up Cheesesteaks, Rockin' Rotolo, Fresco Italian Cuisine, The Saucy Sicilian, Taqueria Sanchez. Have not visited these.
I haven't visited these either, but I did vote for Saucy Sicilian because I know a ton of people who like absolutely love it.
Really? You know, out of all those, I've definitely heard the most about the Saucy Sicilian.
Yeah, same. So, that's why I picked that one.
Best local craft beer. Ooh, this is...
Yeah, this was tough.
This is going to be tough, and I'm going to know the most about this, probably, or like be informed the most about this. Anthem Brewing Company, Coop Ale Works, Prairie Artisan Ales, Rough Tail Brewing Company, and Stone Cloud Brewing Company. Mm-hmm. Really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard. You know, I do think that right away, I would knock out Coop out of... I can tell you that I like all four of the other ones a little bit better than Coop.
Really?
Which is crazy because that's the OG Oklahoma brewery, arguably the most popular one, the one that's about to open up a gigantic facility in a couple of years. And the one that, I mean, I feel like they're national at this point, right? Like they're everywhere, right?
I don't know.
Anyway, Anthem Brewing Company. I love a good Anthem Arjuna.
Arjuna is delicious.
And I love a good Anthem IPA.
I don't think I've had that.
Anthem is like 10 times better on tap. I don't know what it is.
Yes.
It's got to be on tap and freezing cold.
The Arjuna has to be like ice cold.
Yeah. In a can, I don't know. Something's a little off with Arjuna sometimes.
I just don't think it's as cold like as it's like from the tap.
Mm-hmm. Then we've got Prairie Artisan Ales.
Oh, Prairie's so good.
Prairie is sort of the second brewing company that I discovered and would go to the store to get stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the Prairie Bomb, you know.
I feel like Prairie is more well known nationally.
Really? See, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I do love going to Prairie.
Right.
And trying all their beers.
Yes.
And again, they have really great IPAs and a ton of sours.
I was going to say, they everywhere and lately, the sours have like up the game.
Yeah. Rough Tail Brewing Company. Manufactures, produces, brews.
The best IPA.
The best IPA in the world. Yeah. Everything Rhymes with Orange is
The best.
The nectar of life.
That's your nectar.
It's my nectar of life, yeah. It's an IPA, but it kind of doesn't really taste like an IPA. It's just a really citrusy.
It's delicious.
Refreshing beer, you know? But it's not, I wouldn't call it light.
No.
You know? It's got like a juice quality, kind of, almost. Yeah,
it's just not so IPA-y.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Rough Tail Brewing Company, I believe they're going to open up a new location.
Yes. Up on Memorial in between Western and Santa Fe.
Okay. Interesting.
Somewhere up there.
Cool. Excited for that. Mm-hmm. Stone Cloud Brewing Company.
We went there last weekend for their little 1 year party. A lot of fun.
I know I said that I love going to Prairie to hang out. I do. I think Stone Cloud might be my favorite brewery to hang out at.
Yeah, Stone Cloud is fun.
I think its layout is a little bit better to hang out with friends at, you know? It's a little bit bigger, right? No,
about the same size. I feel like Prairie has more tables.
Sure. Stone Cloud, again, they have a great IPA, Astro Dog. Mm-hmm. Very into Astro Dog. I get one just about every time I go there. And also, if I see Astro Dog on a menu anywhere, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
I get it all the time. Again, a bunch of sours. Tons of sours all the time on the taps out there.
I had two raspberry sours last weekend. One of them was just like a raspberry sour. One of them was like an aged raspberry, sour.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was an aged sour. They are both delicious. They're like pink.
It was a really, really hard decision.
I voted for Rough Tail.
Did you?
I did.
Interesting.
Just because that, I mean, all their beers are good, but like everything rhymes with orange is just so good.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say Stone Cloud just because of the variety. I like more Stone Cloud beers than I like Rough Tail beers in terms of quantity.
Yes. You know? Stone Cloud definitely has the most.
I do think I have to say Rough Tail just because they make the best beer in the world.
Yeah. So that's why I chose it.
So yeah, we'll go with Rough Tail on that one.
All right.
Best meal for a deal. Restaurant, not the deal.
I didn't understand this category.
And the choices make it even that more confusing. Big Trick Tacos makes sense. Empire Slice House makes sense. S&B Burger Joint makes sense. Again, we've got Jimmy's Roundup Cafe and Fried Pies. Don't know. Then this one throws you for your loop a little bit. The Jones Assembly.
Yeah. I didn't understand what the category was. Like, meal for a deal means like like a combo budget type situation.
I mean, I guess you can go and get cacio e pepe. It's like $10, right?
Yeah, like the pizza.
Or a pizza, yeah. But I wouldn't put it on like a cheap eats list or anything like that. I would go Empire.
That's what I picked.
Based off this list.
Yeah, I was confused and that's what I picked.
We went to another pizza restaurant last night and it was sort of the same genre. I don't want to say because they are a local place. Same genre of pizza, but man, I was just wishing that I was at Empire the whole time.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but I don't want to go back.
Same. Empire.
They also won. Empire won some like best pizza.
Right. I think Pizza Magazine or something.
Yeah, something Pizza really Lovers Magazine. Great. And their new shop is going to open up soon.
Yeah, I've been following that. And it's, it looks pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Big old two-story building down there.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So, best steakhouse. We're going to skip. We really don't go to steakhouses. Mm-hmm. I know. Best Mexican restaurant. Here we go. Mm-hmm. We don't go to any of these. We go to two of these. Abel's, Alfredo's, Barrio's, Chilino's, and Ted's.
I voted for Barrio's.
Yeah, I'd say Barrio's. Ted's is fine. I couldn't tell you last time I was at Chilino's or Alfredo's. But Barrio's, I'd say, is way more unique and offers a little bit more options and different things. It's not just like enchiladas, rice, and beans. You know, there's some other.
They have a unique menu.
Yeah, really interesting items that you can choose from.
Yeah,
they got a tequila flight. Oh, really good cocktails too.
They have very good Barrio's. Cocktails. Yes.
Been a while since we've been there.
I know. We gotta go.
Yeah, we should head back there soon. Okay, let's keep going. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it.
Best late night eats: Beverly's Pancake House, Empire Slice House, Gayudi's, The Pump Bar, and Waffle Champion.
I picked Empire.
Yeah, I'd probably say Empire as well. I don't think I've ever been to Waffle Champion late at night.
No.
We've been there at night, like after dinner, when they first opened up that little window.
Right.
I used to frequent Beverly's a lot.
Did you?
You know, but it's fine. It's, you know what I mean? It's like, people try to argue that it's like better than IHOP. It's about the same as IHOP. A hot take. It was a hot take by me.
I couldn't even tell you the last time I went to Beverly's.
It's fine. It's a fine breakfast restaurant. It's about the same as IHOP.
Okay.
Controversial.
Yeah, you're going to get some flack on that.
Best sushi. Go-Go Sushi. Grand House Asian Bistro. Sushi Nikko. Tokyo. Yokozuna.
Sushi Nikko.
I would say Sushi Nikko or Tokyo.
Tokyo is very good.
I like Tokyo a lot.
Tokyo is very good. They're different.
Super different. Yeah. The last couple times we've been to Nikko, I almost wanted to just like get it to go.
Yeah.
Sometimes they pack too many seats in the small little room.
It's too, yeah.
Then you take out about 10 seats.
Yeah, it's too crowded.
It's a little too crowded in there. Yeah. Good sushi, though.
Very good sushi.
French fries.
Oh, yeah. Nikko
fries. Nikko could be on the best. They were on our best fry list. They were on
best fry, yeah.
And, best cocktail.
Oh.
These are specific cocktails, too.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Okay.
I'm not sure that I've... Okay, best cocktail and the restaurant / bar that serves it.
Okay.
The Black Betty from the Pump Bar. I don't believe I've ever had that.
I don't know.
JFK from the Bunker Club.
No.
Lunchbox at Edna's. No. Painkiller from the Bunker Club and the Froze from the Jones Assembly.
I've had the Froze. It's delicious.
I would say that just out of the restaurants themselves, the Jones Assembly provides the best cocktail for me.
Yeah.
I think the Bunker is up there. What the Bunker's doing.
Yeah, we've had I think you might have had the JFK before.
Is that the one with the tobacco bitters?
I think maybe.
It might be.
The one that I get at Bunker is Dr. Strange Love Mermaid Drink.
You're right.
Yeah.
So, I'd say the Jones Assembly is offering the best cocktail to you.
To me.
I'm tired, man.
Yeah.
A little bit hungover. Best burger. The Garage. Ooh, this is a good category.
I know.
The Garage, Nick's, Paddy Wagon, S&B, and Tucker's.
I picked Tucker's.
You picked Tucker's. Interesting. Yeah. I think I've converted you to Tucker's. Huh?
I think because at first, well, I mean, they had turkey burgers just fine.
Uh-huh.
But I think, I don't know, the whole, it's a huge burger, and that's like not my normal kind of burger. I think that's the thing. But man, their Impossible Burger is just so good.
Yeah, it's great. And we picked up some Impossible Burgers today at the grocery store.
They're the Beyond Meat Burgers.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Which I think is what Whiskey Cake has.
Yeah, but like you can call a burger the Beyond Meat Burger. Is it literally the same thing?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Same concept.
Like any Impossible...
Like Whiskey Cake uses these exact patties?
Well, because if you get an Impossible Burger, that's a brand of patty.
The
Impossible
really?
Burger is like its own brand of... Of vegan.
No, I thought Tucker's made it.
No.
Like, not invented it, but like...
The Impossible Burger is like Jenny O. It's like a brand of vegan burgers.
I thought that they...
No.
Like... Okay.
So I think this Beyond Meat might be what Whiskey Cake has. We'll look into it.
I think it's more of a concept and not like a brand.
I think it's a brand.
Okay. What do you think out there? Yeah. What do you think about this Impossible...
We'll look it up and let you know.
Anyway, so you picked Tucker's?
I voted for Tucker's.
I might also pick Tucker's. However, it's been so long since I've been to Paddy Wagon, but I used to love Paddy Wagon so much.
Every time we drive by it, you always like, I haven't been there in a while.
I don't believe they have a non-beef option,
right.
So we don't go.
Right.
But Paddy Wagon's awesome. They have a blue, like a black and blue burger with some bacon and blue cheese and red onions and
Sounds
lettuce
good.
And tomatoes.
Yeah.
Real good.
Yeah.
And really great patty, really great bun. And it's soup. It's like even more diner than Tucker's.
Oh, really?
Even more like white paper bag type of deal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's even like dirtier than that.
Dirtier.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you can definitely tell that the restaurant used to be a Wendy's or something. You know,
oh, really?
Like they still have the old seats that are in there that would be like at a Wendy's or something. You know? But Paddy Wagon's really good. Best Italian restaurant. Flips. Gabriello's. Patrono, Stella, Vito's.
So we haven't been to all of them, but I did vote for Gabriella's.
Gabriella's is incredible. And I've been told to go to Patrono a lot as well.
Yes, we have been told to go to Patrono. We'll have to go.
And Stella was okay.
Stella's good.
Yeah. Stella's fine.
We've only been there once for dinner.
Right. Did we go for brunch one time?
And we've been for brunch.
Stella's is good.
It's a little... Well, I feel like Italian restaurants in general are just kind of on the pricier side.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
So we haven't gone back for... We went to dinner once.
Gabriella's... If you're thinking about going to Stella, I would recommend just going to Gabriella's.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Great wine, great pasta, great servers as well. Okay, best sandwich shop, City Bites, The Mule, Neptune, Scotty's, and someplace else.
I picked The Mule.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
I would have picked Scotty's probably. Mm-hmm. Or The Mule. I'd be torn between groups, maybe.
I picked The Mule just because we've been there more and I've tried more things than I've been to Scotty's.
Sure. I used to go to Neptune a lot because it was really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But it's essentially like a little bit worse Jimmy John's sandwich. Oh. Like, not as good.
Got
and I went to someplace else one time. Mm-hmm. And it was literally some Wonder Bread and some bologna and some like Kraft cheese.
Oh.
Like a sandwich I could have made at home.
Is it like the atmosphere or something in there?
I have no idea. It was really strange. Okay. The sandwich I got was... garbage.
Could have made it at
like a elementary school cafeteria sandwich. Oh. So don't know what that's all about.
That's a bummer. Maybe it's changed.
Maybe it has. Best happy hour. There's some of these in here that we're not gonna have anything to say about. Okay.
Okay.
Best happy hour. Best barbecue. Best seafood. Best Mediterranean. Best dessert. Cheever's. Jimmy's Round Up Cafe and Fried Pies.
Man, we gotta get one of these pies.
The Jones, La Baguette, and Pie Junkie. I say Pie Junkie.
Yeah,
that pie is good, dude.
That's what I picked.
Some good pie, man.
Yeah. Drunken Turtle.
Yeah. Don't we get a peanut butter pie from
there? We've got a peanut butter pie. We got the chocolate pie with like the cream on top. The Drunken Turtle is very good.
Best pizza place. Eagle One.
What is that?
What is Eagle One and Pizza?
We'll have to go.
Empire Slice House, The Halls, Pizza Kitchen, Hideaway Pizza, and Pizzeria Gusto.
This was hard for me.
That's a really hard one. Especially since Eagle One Pizza's in there. We have no idea what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
What did you pick?
I think ultimately I did pick Empire.
Yeah, it's hard to beat.
Halls is like a super second close. They're two different kinds of pizza, I feel like.
Yeah, like, definitely.
If you go to Halls and order pizza, and you go to Empire and order pizza, and you put them down next to each other, they're different kinds of pizza.
They absolutely are.
So it's...
Hard to say.
It's
hard,
also really like hard.
Very different vibes.
Yeah.
In the restaurant,
completely different,
you know,
kind of restaurant.
I'd say Empire is more of a Saturday night place, and in Halls is more of a Sunday lunch place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, Halls is definitely more like take your whole family out after church, and Empire is like you take your friends on a Friday night or Saturday.
Right, right. And something in me is swinging towards Pizzeria Gusto as well.
Pizzeria Gusto is really good.
The last couple times that we've been to Gusto, it's been really, really good.
Yes, it has.
And again, a little bit more on toward the... authentic Italian side of pizza, you know, versus the Americanized Empire type of pizza. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's a hard one. It's a hard one. I would probably go with Empire as well, but it'd be tough.
Yeah, it was tough, but I did pick Empire.
Best breakfast.
Mm.
Similar to best brunch.
I love breakfast.
Hatch. Mm-hmm. Jimmy's Egg. Mm-hmm. Probably not. Jimmy's Round Up Cafe and Fried Pies.
Okay, we got to go here. Like, seriously.
Neighborhood Jam and Sunnyside. That's hard.
I think I still picked Hatch.
I've only been to Jam once.
It's very good.
We used to go to Sunnyside a lot. And I really like the vibe of the little diner. Breakfast diner. You know what I'm saying?
Too.
Yeah, I'd probably go Hatch as well, man. It boils down to those tumblers.
Oh, the tumblers.
You know, boils down to those tumblers.
The tumblers are just delicious.
Jimmy's Egg, nah. No, thanks. Jimmy's Roundup Cafe and Fried Pies, though.
I'm trying to get a fried pie.
I know. I'd probably go Hatch
on
that. So anyway, you guys can check out some of these other categories. There's also, like retail shops and just anything you can think of that Oklahoma businesses, you know.
One thing I do want you to look at.
Sure.
The best public bathroom.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I don't know what it is. I like to go to places and look at their bathroom. Like, it must be this new design thing to have, like, very interesting and cool bathrooms. Bar Arbolata has a great bathroom. The Kitchen at Commonplace has a great bathroom. The Jones has a cool bathroom. Just, like, all these places have such neat bathrooms.
There's a whole other page of categories here.
Oh, boy.
Okay, but here's the one we can talk about here. Just best restaurant.
Oh.
There's a best restaurant. That's what I'm
saying. There's so many choices.
Cheever's Cafe, Jimmy's Roundup Cafe and Fried Pies, the Jones Assembly, the Pump Bar, and Ranch Steakhouse. Man, I can't believe I kind of can't believe the Pump Bar is on best restaurant. Like, good for that. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's great.
I would go with the Jones.
That's what I chose.
I would go with the Jones, man. I don't know. They just do everything right. There's that food, the drink, the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Really, really good. I mean, there's a ton of stuff on here, man. There's best new bar,
so many.
Best Paseo restaurant, best plaza restaurant, best automobile alley restaurant, best Bricktown restaurant. You know, it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, it's so long. So I'm telling you, and you have to vote for like so many for your vote to count. And I remember thinking, like, that's not hard. Even though I skipped a bunch of stuff, I was still able to vote. And, you know, there's just so many categories.
I'm not seeing best bathroom.
Well,
did you see it on here? Is it under arts, culture, and entertainment?
I voted on there.
It's best dance club, best place to buy local art, best casino, best local district. What would be your favorite district?
I voted for Midtown.
Plaza, Automobile Alley, Midtown, the Paseo, and 23rd. You voted for Midtown?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's coming
up. I might go Plaza.
I mean, they're all good. They're all great.
Oh, best place to buy wine.
Mm.
Broadway Wine Merchants.
That's who I voted for.
Byron's, Freeman's, More Liquor, and Bo's Wine Bin. Yeah, I'd go, I'd go Broadway. Man, there's best plumber, best home builder, best electrical company, best bicycles.
Bicycle?
Best florist, best naughty business. What's Red Dog Saloon?
I don't know.
Best clothing consignment, best pet store. Anyway, I'm not seeing best bathroom on here.
Well, I know that I voted for the Jones.
The Jones, yeah, it's one of those things, man.
It's
like,
such a cool bathroom.
Can I do Command F? Is it restroom or bathroom?
I think it's just type public. Because I think it's under like best public restroom or best public bathroom or something.
Oh, yeah, best public, best public art and mural. Best public restroom. Here we go. Found it. Okay. Best public bathroom. Bunker Club, City Bites, the Jones Assembly, On Cue. And the Pump Bar. The Pump Bar is probably on there due to the Harry Potter
situation.
Book reading that they do in the restrooms.
Bunker does have a cool bathroom. I don't know about in the men. Is it unit sex?
I don't know. I can't even remember if I've ever been to the Bunker. Think.
In the women's restroom, at least, they got all kinds of stuff.
Do they really?
Like, they all kind of stuff in that women's bathroom.
Whiskey Kick has that. They have, like, cologne and stuff in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I voted for the Jones.
Yeah,
they got TVs in there, man. It's crazy.
They got TVs in the walls at the urinal, so when you're peeing at the urinal, you're just watching TV.
Oh, like on each urinal they have one? Oh, they have just like one in like the mirror where you wash your hands.
And the sink is like one uniform sink that's sort of like, it's
like a trough.
Slant. Yeah, it's like a trough. And then the fan that dries your hands is Dyson.
Yeah, it's like extra.
I mean, come on. It's a Dyson air fan in your bathroom. Yeah. Come on now, dude. Anyway, On Cue is on there too, dude. Interesting. So you can go and check this out. Again, the voting is over, but I'm sure the winners will be announced soon. And we might go over that when that comes out as
Definitely.
Well and sort of debate it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So, I think that's a good show. We're at a good time to end.
I want to talk about one more thing.
Go for it.
Two more things.
Oh, okay.
We judged some cocktails
last weekend
at Pony Boy. They have a bartender smackdown hosted by the Oklahoma City Bartenders Guild. Is that what it is?
I believe so.
And ultimately, it was between the Pump/Bunker and Scratch Kitchen in Paseo. And all three rounds were amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome. The Pump/Bunker ended up winning.
Mm-hmm.
And we were judges along with this other gentleman who I believe is a...
Clayton.
Yeah, his name is Clayton. He's a wine and liquor purchaser, some type of businessman, booze businessman.
Yeah.
Anyway, the three of us were judging these cocktails, and there's three different rounds. The first one was...
It's called a Dack-Off.
Dack-Off, which is kind of like... what was a daiquiri, right?
Well, no, it was a tequila sour.
Oh, that's right.
I think they just call it a Dack-Off.
I see. Yes, yes, yes.
And they had to make a tequila sour the fastest. And like, it was not only judged on who made it quickest, but who's tasted the best.
Right, right. So you would get points for finishing fastest, as well as points for how good it was. Mm-hmm. And man, I believe the pump made one that was spicy. No, Scratch made one that was spicy. I was having a hard time keeping up with these drinks as they were giving them to us. And that one was awesome.
Yeah, they're both great.
Awesome. Then the second round was sort of like a...
it's like chopped.
Chopped situation where they provided a secret ingredient that nobody knew what it was.
Except one guy.
Except the guy that chose it. Turned out to be strawberry frosting. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun to watch these guys go at it. It was a different bartender each time. So there was three representatives from each team. Mm-hmm. And then the last round was... four classic cocktails. I believe it was Manhattan, Negroni, mm-hmm. Margarita, and Paloma.
Yep.
Which all of the margaritas and all the Palomas tasted exactly
the same. They all tasted the same.
Unfortunately. I mean, I wasn't mad. It's just, you know, it was hard to differentiate. It was hard to decide, And I feel like for the Manhattan and the Negroni, there's really only one way to make a Manhattan. There's really only one way to make a Negroni. So that was the hardest one for me to choose from.
Yes.
However, a lot of fun.
It was lively in there,
you know, getting to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Was a lot of fun.
All the ticket money went to the Homeless Alliance
in
Oklahoma City.
Yes.
It was a fun time. There's more people than I expected.
Yeah. It was a good crowd.
It was a lot of people.
It wasn't like too many people, but it was enough in there for it to be lively and loud and fun.
We'll have one again this month in August, and it'll be the Pump/Bunker. Versus a new challenge.
Versus somebody else.
So I'm excited to go back.
Yeah, we'll probably head back up there.
Oh, yeah.
Won't be a judge, but we're going to be there.
Oh, yeah, we'll be there.
Good time. So thank you, Micah, I believe is his name.
Yes.
Thanks, Micah, for hitting us up and inviting us to come out there. A lot of fun.
It was a ton of fun.
Pony Boy, killing it. You went to Pony Boy last night. What did you have to drink?
I had Sitting on the Back Dock.
Oh, yeah?
It's like a watermelon margarita.
Have you had that before?
Yes, it's very good.
Okay, cool.
It was delicious.
You had one more thing you wanted to touch on?
Yes. We have been playing some board games with our friends lately, having some game nights. Mm-hmm. We got a game called Monikers.
Yeah, so this is the good times segment.
The good times
segment. We've moved on from food and booze. That's now we're on good times.
Good times. Called Monikers. It comes in like a little blue box. And we just saw it at Target. We went to Target to try to find a game. And that one, like, stood out to us as the most interesting. It's kind of like... Okay, so let me just run down how it works.
Yeah, break it down.
There's, like, a huge stack of cards. All the cards have, like, a person or a thing or a movie or something on them. Like, George Bush...
There's a pretty wide range of cards. Sometimes it could just be a person, like...
Right.
Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
Or one of the cards is... the guy that threw his shoe at George W. Bush.
Right.
Like, that's literally what it says. The guy that threw his shoe at George W. Bush.
Keyboard cat.
Right.
But then there's also things like Lady Macbeth, like, you know, from Shakespeare, or Zeus, or Jesus, or whatever. Just like a wide variety of cards. And there's three rounds, and you use the same set of cards that are chosen by all the players for all three rounds. And the goal is to get your team... members to guess what's on the card without saying the title of the card. In the first round, you can say whatever you want to get your team members to guess the card. Second round, same cards. You can only use one word.
At this point, everybody knows what cards are in the deck, right? So we're all familiar with what's going on. So when you say the one word, you might reference
something that was
something that occurred in the first round that's not necessarily... really a clue to it. You know, like I think one one in the first round, we were trying to guess Einstein or something, you know, mm-hmm. and like somebody gave a clue, like he invented the light bulb or something like that, yeah. you know? And so like the next, obviously that's not what it is, right. but we were able to guess Einstein eventually. And then on the second round, you know, you would say light bulb and everybody would remember how we, you know what I mean?
How like it's that type that.
Of deal
yeah.
where you don't necessarily have to give a one word clue that's truly accurate. Just, you know, it's yeah. a part of the game. And right. I say it every time we play it, that it's more about the journey than not the destination. You know?
Yes. Yes. And so in the third round, it's charades.
Straight charades. Same cards again.
Same cards. So like towards the end, even towards the end of the second round, do you like know, okay, we haven't guessed this, so that's going to be in there right. somewhere.
Right. You're aware of the whatever the 30 right. cards that are in there.
Exactly. You know? And the same with the charades. It's like some of them, towards the end, it's like, well, how am I even going to attempt to act that out?
Right.
But then everyone knows, oh, we haven't guessed that one yet, so that has to be in there.
We should also say that everybody takes 10 cards mm-hmm. and then places 5 cards into the game or whatever number, you right. know? And that we think will be appropriate for everybody and we'll be able to guess.
Yeah.
You know, if something in there that like, I have no idea what this is and I don't think anybody else will know.
Right.
We're going to discard it. And so you know that if there's a ridiculous one in there, like the guy that threw a shoe at George W. Bush, it's going to be easier for you to guess.
Because and you've so like, seen it.
Exactly.
You know
all
it.
These wild ones that are sort of really specific. You've at least one person chose the card to be in the game so that they're likely to get it.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. But it's
anyway.
It's a lot more fun than I anticipated.
Same. Same.
And just like you can, when you know what it is and you're on the other team and like seeing how the other team is trying to explain it or act right. it out or whatever,
right.
just like a lot of fun.
Really basic rules.
Yeah.
However, the fact that you're using the same card for each round makes it so unique, you know?
Yes.
I mean, the first round, it's just a guessing game, like a classic right. guessing game. Second game is just, you know, password, essentially.
Yeah.
Third round is charades. Everybody knows charades.
Yeah. But it's a great party game. It's good with a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's only like $20 at Target. They also have some expansion packs that we need to get on Amazon. But it's great. Just pick it up. It's a ton of fun.
It's a lot of fun. Monikers.
It's a good time.
Monikers is a good time.
It's a good time.
We should maybe do a segment where I choose my favorite food of the 2 weeks. And my favorite booze of the last 2 weeks and my favorite good time of the last 2 weeks.
Oh, I love that.
This is
that.
Live on the show, folks.
I love that.
Development.
That's great.
Developing the show. I do want to mention that I will be featured on another podcast called Lee and Robbie Learn You Stuff About Movies.
Yeah.
They recently changed their name. And we watched a movie, funny enough, called Good Time, starring Robert Pattinson. And we talked about it on the show. We talked a lot about movies. We got into Jurassic World, the Jurassic Park franchise, and all that stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So really cool podcast. Comedy, dirty, yeah. dirty show. Dirty show over there.
Be warned.
But it was a lot of fun. And you can check them out on iTunes and all that kind of stuff. But look yeah. them up. Lee and Robbie.
We'll post about it. Yeah.
So cool. I think that's going to do it for us.
Sounds good.
Yep. All right. Well, you can follow us on Instagram at FBGTPodcast. You can follow me on Instagram at Zach Stabler.
You can follow me on Instagram at Julie B. You can like us on Facebook. Oh, what timing. The dog is awake. you can like us on Facebook at Food, Booze, and Good Times Podcast. This will be on
iTunes,
YouTube.
Google Play. Oh, YouTube. Yes, I couldn't think of it.
YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube.
I feel like Jeff Goldblum just now. Yes. Jeff Goldblum's amazing.
Yes, he's great.
Anyway, all right, cool. Thanks, guys. That's it for the show. This has been Food, Booze, and Good Times.
I'm hungry.